Testament reading for this 15th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 35. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance, with recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from James, chapter 2. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who bless you, the honorable name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things they needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, to the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. Taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue, and looked up to heaven, and he sighed and said to him, Ephatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace, do peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The notes of Jesus' itinerary in Mark are often funny. If you look at the manuscript tradition, you'll often find scribes thinking they're trying to help Mark out. The scribes might have some personal knowledge of the area, or they might have a map, and recognize that what Mark is narrating is odd. Tyre and Sidon are coastal twin cities up in the northeast of the Holy Land. Today, they'd be in Lebanon. They were never part of Israel, in any form. They were always Phoenician or Greek, seafaring trading cities, Gentile cities. And Tyre is the furthest south. And Sidon is a little bit further north. So the way that Mark tells the story is that after healing the Syrophoenician woman's daughter, Jesus decides to return from that region through the Sea of Galilee, all the way on the other side, into the region of the Decapolis down south. Which I think Mark is describing a great circular route. Jesus returns to the south by heading directly north. He returns from the region of Tyre, and he goes through Sidon, and then down over to the Sea of Galilee. He went up and over and then down to the sea. It would be like going to New York City from Rochester, by going to Buffalo and Toronto and then Plattsburgh and Albany. Although it's a much shorter distance over there than that trip. The biggest scribal help is often to change the form of Sidon so that instead of leaving Tyre and going through Sidon, you'd translate, he left Tyre and Sidon to the sea, and then Jesus would go straight across the place. But those are usually later scribes. The Gospel of Mark traditionally is reported as the Apostle Peter's remembrances, taken down by Mark. In these travels, I think you get a hint of the playfulness. Yeah, the old guy used to talk about an 8-month trip with Jesus through Gentile territory. We'll capture it in one line. Or Jesus took the long way home because both he and his disciples needed it. This was the start of the walk to Jerusalem, the walk to the cross. The passion predictions start the next chapter. Let's make it a long walk. The Gospel of Luke will make it a long walk by having chapters 9 through 19 be a travel narrative. Mark, he returns south to the Decapolis by going north to Sidon. We do this in our own lives, right? Before a big decision we do anything, we think about anything but that. We'll walk all the way around it, sometimes avoiding it, sometimes trying to gather strength to meet it, sometimes just stalling the inevitable. Probably a little bit of all of that. And sometimes we don't recognize we are doing it. We only recognize what we're doing in hindsight, when somebody points it out to us. However good we are at delaying, in taking a walkabout, in ignoring looming fate, eventually we end up where we were going all along. And the problem that we are dealing with must be confronted. This man is the living embodiment of the problem that Jesus has with his disciples and really everyone on earth. Man is deaf. He can't hear the word. And he has a speech impediment, surely partially derived from his deafness, but he can't speak the word correctly. The first part of this is what Jesus has encountered everywhere that he's been. There aren't ears to hear what he is teaching. There are occasional folks who have heard it clearly. The Syrophoenician woman, the Gerasene demoniac, the leper he heals along the way. And when they have heard it clearly, you usually get a secondary notice. The leper immediately starts to tell everyone what Jesus has done, even though Jesus tells him not. The demoniac is told to go tell everything, and he goes and proclaims everything. The ones who hear speak. But the people who have heard the word are few. The ears that can hear don't appear to be that many. And if they can't hear, how can they preach? In the text itself, Jesus has the problem. He can continue to preach himself. He can continue to heal himself. He can continue his mission and his ministry as he has done it up until this point. But the returns are small and hard won. And the opposition to him grows. The people that see the miracles just want the bread and the healing. They don't really want the teaching. They don't desire the bread of life or the living water. And even those he has called directly, those disciples, don't really get it. He's sent them out to proclaim, and they went, but their message was about the kingdom and its power. Repent, because the king is coming. They were amazed at their command over the demons and how they were able to heal. But they were deaf to the fact that salvation itself is not by the kingdom and its power. Peter will make that clear shortly when he attempts to rebuke Jesus for predicting the cross. Jesus can continue this ministry in the flesh, or he can complete this ministry and pour out the Holy Spirit. On his way back, on this grand trip, Jesus is confronted with the deaf and mute man. Which way, Jesus? Jesus takes the man, looking up to his Father in heaven, he says, "Be open." His ears were open. His tongue spoke plainly. Look at the last of the messianic secret notes. Jesus tells them to tell no one, but they went and proclaimed it. Those who hear, tell. Jesus is still in this garden of Gethsemane, searching for a way to avoid the cup, to not complete that earthly mission. He is true man. This true man, also when confronted with the choice, never flinches. This is the will of the Father that it is done. The people in this case preach the final word about this earthly ministry of Jesus, which is now winding down. He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute to speak. It remains for Jesus to walk to the cross, which everything from here on out in the gospel will be about. But Jesus desires ears to be open to the word, and he desires tongues to proclaim that word, which requires the Holy Spirit. For us, Jesus has completed two things. The walk to the cross, which was still before Jesus in the text, is complete. what his earthly ministry embodied in smaller ways. Jesus desired to make us whole, to heal us. He desired for us to know the love of his Father for all of us and for all creation. Jesus desired to fill us and to make us one. All of those things this cross gives to the entire world. His wounds make us whole by taking away our sin. That cross is the love of the Father. He would not spare his only Son, but sent him for us. From that cross, we receive his body and blood. And it's under the cross that all Christians walk. He's done all things well. That cross is the final great work of his earthly mission, which is given to all of us by faith through the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's the second thing that Jesus has completed on this side of the story. It's Pentecost. He's poured out that Spirit. Where in this earthly ministry, he could open ears and tongues directly, now he opens them by the Spirit. In this earthly ministry, he was limited by time and space. But now the Spirit blows when and where it wills. His body and blood are available under the bread and wine wherever we do this in remembrance. Presented with the deafness of the world to the Word, Jesus desired it to be open. And he sent his Spirit to do his calling. Gathering, enlightening, and sanctifying the entire Christian church on earth. And so, we all take our own circuitous spiritual paths. We all walk around the things we don't want yet. We all have the things that we don't want to hear. And maybe if we've already heard them, though, we have these things that we don't want to speak. Because if we speak them, do they become real? Jesus came. He bore the cross. And he sent the Spirit. So that our ears would be open. And that our tongues could speak. If you're waiting for that word, this is it. We're all on our way to Jerusalem. Every Christian, every disciple of Christ must carry their cross. You've been intentionally deaf here. You've been mute. Speak. If you've been taking the long road, walk straight, for the time is short. Be opened today.